All right, we're starting Parshas Vaeschanan. It starts off Vaeschanan El Hashem Bo'esahi Lemor, and I daven to Hashem at that time saying, Hashem Elokim, you started to show your servant me your greatness and your strong hand. Who is like God in the skies and the land? Who can do like what you've done and can do like your greatness, like your strength? Let me go in and see Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael Shebev Arayarmen. Vaeschanan is the Gematria 515, quoted by the Panach Raza. The same Gematria is Tefillah without the Yud, and Shira. And the Panach Raza says the pshat behind that is that when you daven with a certain niggun, which is what Moshe Rabbeinu taught Bnei Yisrael how to do, to daven with a certain niggun and a certain trup and a certain way of davening, in other words, it's not just pashit, it's not just stam, that by Mincha and Shabbos you have a certain tune of Mincha and Shabbos. You just have a certain tune by Shabbos Shacharis or Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. And like a guy can get up there and just mess up the entire thing. Shabbos davening and Mincha davening and the Rosh Chodesh davening have very, very specific reasons for why that niggun is why it is. I don't have the reasons why. It's the Chachma music, and that's beyond me, and I've never found anybody that has known such a thing when I've asked such questions. But apparently there is something extremely, extremely holy about each one and how it fits into that part of the day or how it fits into that day itself. But that's the idea behind that. He did that, and thus his tefillah would be heard better in Shemayim by making it a tefillah and Shira all together, all as one. Now, the Al-Guruvani says that it also equals the Gematria of Yeshara. Yeshara is the same letters as Shira, just with the letters out of order a little bit. Yeshara stands for Raglam Regal Yeshara, by the Malachim. Raglam Regal Yeshara stands about, it says in Yechezkel and Perek Aleph, that when the Malachim were standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, davening, so to speak, their legs were all as one, it was straight up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's how we learned to daven Shemona Esrei exactly that way. That we daven exactly like the Malachim. We are Mechavin Raglav exactly like them. So the Razin Ameir quotes down, that was also from Bala Turin. The Razin Ameir quotes down, you look at the Pasuk, that first Pasuk. Starts off with a Vav. There's six words in the Pasuk, and the first word in the Pasuk is six letters. And the Pshat behind that is supposed to be Vav plus Vav letters plus Vav words in the Pasuk is six plus six plus six is Shmon Esrei. And the Pshat behind Shmon Esrei is just like there's Tefillah with Shira and Yeshara that goes along with the fact that there's Shmon Esrei, that we daven our Shmon Esrei exactly in that way, that connects everything back together. So Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to have davened 515 Tefillahs. There's a sefer called the Megale Amukos. The Megale Amukos was written by an unbelievable Mekobel about 100 years ago. I was zochah to know his great-great-grandson, Ben Mipi Ben. Actually, somebody else knows him, Daniel Steinhertz, from Ner Yaakov, one of the Rabbeim of Ner Yaakov. He was one of the great-grandsons, I think it's Ben Mipi Ben, from the Megale Amukos. Absolutely unbelievable sefer. He wrote down 350 out of the 515 tefillos that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Think about that for a second. 350 of them. He had different ofanim that he wrote throughout the Sefer. He wrote down 350 of them. Most of them are quoted by the Yalkut Ruvaini, totally out of order, and I have no idea why it's out of order. But they are somewhat mentioned out of order. He mentions those 350, and obviously there's something to them in which we can get something out of, but regardless, the reason why I brought that up is because this, why 515? What's to do with 515? What are we getting out of that number? So the number of 515 is supposed to put together Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh, and that's the idea of Tefillah. The question is how? How do you do such a thing? So it goes like this. Devarim starts off Mishnah Torah. It's called Mishnah Torah. The reason why it's called Mishnah Torah is number one, because of the doubling up of the Torah of what we've had before. It's doubling it up and it's chazering over that which we've had before. That's number one. But also, it's supposed to be Mishnayis of Torah. The pshat behind it is it's known as Torah Shebaalpeh. Torah Shebaalpeh really started in Devarim and went on, and that's why Smuchin, everybody agrees to Smuchin in Sefer Devarim. Elsewhere, it's Machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold it, everybody else does. But in Devarim, everybody holds a Smuchin. When it comes to Rosh HaTevis, Sofei Tevis, there are everybody holds that in Devarim, it's the Iker. That they get certain things in Torah Shebaalpeh, certain notrikons and gematrias and things like that, are Shayach in Devarim more so than in any other place in the entire Chumash. So why Devarim? Because Devarim is the Torah Shebaalpeh of Moshe Rabbeinu. None of it, I don't want to say, it's not straight out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's version that he gave over to us. Now, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the words and put those words in the Torah. We're not getting a straight-out speech of Moshe Rabbeinu. This isn't what he said exactly. But we're getting the ideas that Hashem wanted us to get. But it's Torah Shebaalpeh because it's Moshe Rabbeinu telling over to us everything that happened and then telling over to us a bunch of mitzvos. That's the real Torah Shebaalpeh. That's why it's Mishnah Torah that is repeated right afterward. Now, he could only do that after 40 years. Only after 40 years. And the pshat is, in Pirkei Avos, it says it in Parakeh, Mishnah Chaf Aleph, that at 40 years, you get bina. They get full understanding. Bnei Yisrael took 40 years in the desert to be able to get to that full understanding. And even Moshe Rabbeinu himself needed to get to that 40 years to be able to fully understand it, for him to teach it to Bnei Yisrael, and for Bnei Yisrael to finally get it. Had he taught them Torah Shebaal Peh, although he did give them Rashi Devarim within Torah Shebaal Peh, he taught them Gemara, he taught them Mishnayos beforehand. He got that down from Har Sinai as well. But he didn't tell them the real Iker B'an Torah Shebaal Peh, how everything fits together and how to take one thing and go to the other and put everything together. That was only done after 40 years, and right now, on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and he had 40 days. I know it's not exactly 40, it's about 39, 38, depending if he died in Zion other. But regardless, he had these days, almost 40 days, to go over every single one of these things that he wanted to go over with Bnei Yisrael, told them every single thing that they needed to know, and he took those days to teach them Torah Shebaal Peh. 40 is going to come up a little bit more. Mishnah Torah is Mem Shana Torah. That's the pshat, that it takes 40 years for you to really understand Torah, for you to even come to a basic understanding. If you start learning Torah when you're 20, that means when you're 60. You start learning Torah when you're 1, that means when you're 41. It goes on from there. It's 40 years altogether in which you can finally understand what you're learning, but it takes 40 years altogether once you start. That's when Bina sets in. That's the idea behind Bina. That's why, from the Mishnayos, in order to be written, took 40 doros. 40 generations from Moshe Rabbeinu until Rabbi Yudah Nasi. The Rambam mentions all 40 generations, but it's 40 generations altogether from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rabbi Yudah Nasi, because you needed the Mem Doros to be able to go all the way through for them to understand it. And from Moshe to Rabbi Yudah Nasi did not just start. He started off the Gemara. He started off the Mishnayos with the letter Mem, with Me'em Asai, and he ended off with the letter Mem Shalom. And he ended up for that reason, because he said you can only understand this once you get past 40, that the Mem is the Iker over here. Moshe's idea was that he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael when he's davening for right now. One of the things that he was davening for right now in Vos Chanan is to daven to Hashem, please let me go into Eretz Yisrael and write up the Mishnayos. I'm starting it right now. I'm doing Mishnah Torah right now. I'm teaching them how the Torah can fit into Mishnayos right now. I'm doing all that, and it's Mem Shana. I've taken my 40 years, says Moshe Rabbeinu, and I've learned everything I need. Let my 40 years take the place of those 40 generations, and I can do it right now, and I'll write up the Mishnayos right now. Let me get into Eretz Yisrael, let me do it right now. There's a very, very, very similar Gemara in Bava Kama with Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana went to Eretz Yisrael to go meet Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Kahana was told by his Rebbe, I'm forgetting his name right now, but I believe it was Rav, told him, don't ask any questions to Rabbi Yochanan. Can't be Rav. He said, who was it? It was Rava. So Rava told them, don't ask any questions until you sit there for 7 years. Then you can ask questions. And Rav Kahana was sitting in the shir. He got brought back 7 rows of the shir. And the Marsha says, the pshat is, let these 7 rows represent those 7 years. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make the same type of exchange. Let the 40 generations be now in 40 years. I worked as hard as I could to get to this point that I'm at right now. Let me have these 40 years and let it happen right now. Not only for myself, let it be for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me bring about the Mishnayos now. Let me bring about Torah Shebaal Peh in a way that nobody's going to forget it, because it's from me. It's not going to be from Rabbi Yudah Nasi. They're not going to have to write it down. Let it be from me and let me be able to do it for everybody else. That's why he wanted to write it down. So he davened 515 times. The Gematria of Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak is 208. Rivka altogether is 307. 208 plus 307 is 515, and we said it's Tefillah, it's Yeshara, it's Shira. It's all those things put together. And that's supposed to be what he wants to do. I'll try to explain that in a second. But that's supposed to be Yitzchak and Rivka. Ebra na, when he said Ebra na, let me pass by and go into Eretz Yisrael. Ebra stands for Ataken Ata B'makom Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Ataken Ata, I'll do it now instead of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, instead of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. Let me do it right now. Let me go in and do that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, no, Rav Lach. Rav Lach, it's too much for you. The pshat is, it's Rav Lach. For you, Mem Shana can be Mem Doros. For you, Moshe Rabbeinu, for you to understand it, yes, 40 years can be enough for you to make it to 40 Doros. But not for Bnei Yisrael. It's Rav Lach. It's good for you. You're going to be able to understand it, but Bnei Yisrael not going to fully understand it. They need another 40 generations to bring themselves to a level to be able to understand it, to learn Torah straight for 40 generations to the point where you're going to be able to get it. Now remember, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who was able to learn as much as he could in Shemayim for how many days? 40 days. He was able to get that because he was on a level in Shemayim, where in Shemayim it takes 40 days to get to that level. The Or HaChaim does explain that a little bit and says that each level, we know, there's parties. There's Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod in every Pasuk. Each level has 10 levels to it. 10 levels correspond to the 10 Malachi Ashoros or the 10 Spiros, which again I don't understand. But 4 times 10 altogether is 40, and each day was supposed to be one of those things that he learned each level of Pshat, each level of Drush, of Remez, and of Sod. And that's why he explains the Or HaChaim. That's why he says he couldn't go down early. That's why Hashem didn't say go down before they do the Egel Azov. Because if he would have gone down early, they wouldn't have gotten the last part of Sod. That last part of Sod sod he never would have been able to get. And as it was, he went down a little bit early, and he lost out in a tiny little bit of sod, that final 50th level, and that's why Tachzorim Ma'at Me'elokim. He's only a little bit, he's on the 49th level. He wasn't able to get to the top level because he was missing on that tiny little bit that he wasn't there for. That's why Rav Lach, for you, who's in Shemayim for 40 days, you can get it in 40 years. You can get Tarsha Balpeh. You can get Tarsha Balpeh in 40 years. But for Bnei Yisrael, it's impossible. They can't get it. They need 40 generations altogether. There's no way that you can do it. How does Yitzchak and Rivka equal all of that? This is the one part that I'm really, really confused on, and I'm not so sure I'm going to say it correctly. However, we definitely know that Yitzchak, when he came over, when he says, Vayi Yitzchak ben Mem Shana, ben Arboim Shana, bekachto es Rivka. He was 40 years old when he took Rivka as a wife. Don't think that's just a stop. Hey, that works out well. We got 40. And now we have another 40. It all works out well together. No, 40 always has some sheikhs to being able to learn Torah. We know that he was coming from the field. We know that he might have even been in Gan Eden for the past 3 years. He might have been killed at the Akedah and then brought to Gan Eden 3 years to have the Tchias HaMeisim. There's a whole big issue with what happened to Yitzchak after the Akedah for those 3 years. Why wasn't he at the Levi of his mother, Sarah? Avraham Avinu had to come by himself. Yitzchak himself wasn't able to come. What in the world happened to Yitzchak? But there's a reason why Yitzchak couldn't come. Yitzchak wasn't allowed to come because he had to be down here learning Torah, or he had to be in Shemayim finishing up the levels of Torah that he was at. And when he was there, he learned for those 40 years. He got to that level of the 40, and then when he was 40, he took Rivka. That's when he was able to take Torah Sheval Peh. Rivka represents the Torah Sheval Peh, and that's why Bekachto Es Rivka, the first letter, Bekachto Es Rivka, is the Be'er. That's the Be'er of Torah, the real well of Torah, being able to go into the well springs of Torah and to be able to pull out the water from it. That's Shapian Yaakov Avinu. We know Yaakov Avinu took a very, very long time to get to Rachel. By the time he got to there, he was 77. He was extremely old by the time he got there. But when he did, immediately he saw the rock on top of the Be'er, pushed off the rock, and was able to get to the Be'er. That's when he was able to get there. There's something to all this, and I'm not sure exactly what the pshat is. Yes, 40 causes Torah Sheval Peh. Sometimes it's 40 years, sometimes it's 40 generations, sometimes it's 40 days. I don't know what the connection is altogether behind that, but that's what he was davening for over here. That's the Ebra, and that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, Rav Lach, for you it's good, but not for everybody else. That was the idea behind what Moshe Rabbeinu was davening for. That's number one. Number two, and we're going to get to continue this a little bit further. Va'es Chanon. You can split up into a bunch of different ways. The Vavs and the Essen were darshaned out by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the only person to be able to darshan out every S. We know that Nechemiah Amsuni or Shimon Amsuni was trying to darshan out every S in the Torah, but he wasn't able to get to them because he got to S Hashem Lokechatira, you should fear God. He got to that S and he said, who else can you fear? So he said, forget it. I'm not darshaning anything. His Rabbi Talmidim said to him, Rabbi, what are you going to do with all the S and you darshan up until him? He said, I'll get schar for staying away from it. And he said, I'm going out. But the S that he darshan as many S in as he could in the Torah, that was his pshat. It also says that Rabbi Akiva darshan every Vav in the Torah and the Tagan in the Torah. And got everything. The Vav and the S is all Rabbi Akiva's. So that's why when it says, and that's the whole shot that Aleph and Tuf go through Torah, the Vav is supposed to be for the Vav Sidri Mishnayis. Again, that goes into the Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat Pes sort of a mode. The Aleph through Tuf and Torah and the Vav and the six Sidri Mishnayis. Rabbi Akiva, what Moshe Rabbeinu is really davening for is aside from the Torah Shabbat Pes, let me write up the Mishnayis and everything like that. Bring me into Eretz Yisrael and let me be like Rabbi Akiva. He prayed, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me be on the level of Rabbi Akiva to get to his level, to that 50th level that we learned about weeks ago, when we learned about how Rabbi Akiva had the neshamas of Zimri and brought it to a different level, that he was able to take Zimri and, as we said before, Shechem, to a different level. Let me be on that 50th level to be able to get up to that level, to get up there. Thus, give me a chayin, give me a matnas chinam, a free gift of nun. And that takes care of the whole word. Vav and S, chayin, give me the chayin of the nun, of the final nun, of the 50th level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the nun, the long nun, the one that goes straight up to Shemayim. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me be able to get to that level. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Rav Lach, he's a Rav to you. Rabbi Akiva is too much for you to do. You're never going to be able to get to the level of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva chose his path, chose his derech, knew what he had to do. He had to grow up in a certain way, and he had to do that. By the way, how long did Rabbi Akiva take until he became from an al-aretz to a regular person? 40 years. How long did it take for him to become from learning to become a Rebbe? 40 years. Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai also, 40 beprakmatia, 40 in learning, 40 that he became a Rebbe. It makes a ton of sense when you put it all together, and that's why I put this drush of Rabbi Akiva over here, even though we're going to come back to him later, but yeah.
Maybe that's why Moshe couldn't give the Mishnayos, because he couldn't get to the 50th level. Mishnah is Moshe with the Nun.
That's good. Mishnah is Moshe with the Nun. It's Moshe with the Nun.
Couldn't do it.
We're going to see Menashe also later on. That's very, very good. Menashe is one of the names of Moshe Rabbeinu also later on when it mentions at the end of Shofar, Menashe's name, that Gershom ben Menashe, when it mentions Yonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe, the Nun is hanging up a little bit. It was Moshe. He was just missing that 50th level. Very, very good. I'm sorry?
To hide his name. That's
100%. It is the highest name. All right, the Orachaim gives the simplest pshat. This is just like, that was a little, obviously, a little bit out there. What we should do is go into a lower pshat, a smaller pshat. The smaller pshat is like this. The Orachaim says the simple pshat is, there are two tainas why he can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Number one, because it's time for Yoshua to become king. Number two, because Moshe Rabbeinu would have made a Beis HaMikdash, and I told this over to every kid that I had in camp this week, that Moshe Rabbeinu would have made a Beis HaMikdash. Had Moshe Rabbeinu made the Beis HaMikdash, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never be able to destroy it. So too, if Dovid HaMelech would have made such a Beis HaMikdash, he never would have been able to destroy it. It would have been made by a warrior. Warriors, Bati Mikdashos, cannot be destroyed by a regular human being. So instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending a human being to go destroy it, he would have to destroy the Jews instead. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that to happen, and therefore he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash instead of killing the Jews. That's why he had to leave Moshe out, so the Moshe wouldn't build the Beis HaMikdash. That's why in Mizmor Ayin Tes it says Mizmor La'asaf, a song for Asaf. Elokim bo Goyim ben Achlasecha, Timu Goyim beHeichalecha, that the Goyim came inside your Nachla and they destroyed your entire Heichal. That's not a Mizmor, says the Gemara. It's a Kina. It's a lamentation. We should cry over the fact that it happened. So why is it called Mizmor La'asaf? The pshat is that it's a Mizmor that we are able to have a Beis HaMikdash for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take his wrath out in a punching bag rather than us ourselves. But in the Holocaust, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have that punching bag, so it had to be on us. That's the idea. That it's Mizmor La'asaf that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to take it out on us when he got angry at us. That's the idea behind the Beis HaMikdash. And he didn't want Moshe there because he knew if Moshe was there, Moshe builds the Beis HaMikdash, it's never going to be able to be destroyed. But B'nai Yisrael aren't on the level where they're not going to sin anymore. It's going to be big problems. So he wouldn't allow Moshe Rabbeinu in. For those two tainas, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ebrana, let me pass by. I'll just go in as a regular guy. I won't go in as a regular Rebbe. I won't go in as Yoshua's Rebbe. I'll go in as Yoshua's Talmud. Let me go in under Yoshua and then I'll be perfectly fine. That's that. And I'll look at it. I'll see it. I'm not going to be there building up the Beis HaMikdash. I just want to see Eretz Yisrael. I just want to do the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. But to build the Beis HaMikdash, that I won't do. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu again said, Rav Lach. We'll see later on in Parshas Vayelech. There was no way Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be able to keep to that part of the deal. He would have built up the Beis HaMikdash immediately. As soon as he went in, he'd just been like, God, bring it down. Would have brought down and everything would have been messed up. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't keep to that side of the deal. It was impossible for him to do. It wouldn't have happened. Rav Wolfson. Because Rabbi Shachter's Beis HaMikdash.
Because this is almost the continuation of what you said, of why Moshe Rabbeinu, why the Chatam Sofer says Moshe Rabbeinu had to die when he hit the rock.
Too much.
Because he didn't teach them about proper speech, and the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed.
Very good. And the Lashon Hara. And this kept going on a little bit from there. It's a very, very good call. Let's go into Rav Wolfson. There's an unbelievable Rav Wolfson over here. I have to say, because I'm inside this Beis Medrash, and it gets a little off. You think for yourself, like, I looked at it, and the first time I looked at it, I think it was 2 years ago, I looked at it, and I was like, wait, this is a Vordan Korach. This has nothing to do with Devar, Vashanah. But then I looked at it again, and I'm like, whoa, it's crazy. It is the craziest Vort in the world. He goes everywhere with this, absolutely everywhere with this. So here we go. Rav Wolfson says, there's a famous line over here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Rav Lach, says the Medrash, you told Korach, Rav Lachem B'nai Levi, you told Korach, Rav Lachem B'nai Levi, it's too much for you, B'nai Levi. So I'm telling you, Rav Lach, it's too much for you. But the question is obviously, yeah, but Korach was a Rasha Gomer. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu was going to say to him, Rav Lach, it's too much for you. Because Korach was wrong. Korach wanted to be somebody up there. He wanted to be a Kohen Gadol. And Moshe Rabbeinu told him, no, Rav Lachem B'nai Levi. You have enough already. Don't try to become the Kohen Gadol. You're not ready to become the Kohen Gadol. That's one. What's Moshe Rabbeinu have to do with that? Moshe Rabbeinu has to go inside Eretz Yisrael because he's the greatest person of all time. Of course he wants to go inside Eretz Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I can't because you told Korach, Rav Lachem B'nai Levi? What's the connection between the two? What's the connection that makes him not go? So here we go. Number one, I have three questions and then we're going to answer it. Number one, how is Korach fooled? Didn't he have Ruach HaKodesh? If he saw that his children were going to be tremendous tzaddikim, how come he couldn't see that he was going to be swallowed up by the ground and die? Same thing goes by Parshas Korach. Did he have Parshas Korach? Was he looking at it and been like, oh, better watch out there? Did he look at it and just say that to himself? What happened to Parshas Korach? Did he see Parshas Korach or did he not see Parshas Korach? Number two, Moshe had a suffix. Moshe said, Imbriya Yivra Hashem. If Hashem will make a creation and bring it over here. What do you mean, if? Says Rashi, if God created it on Erev Shabbos, then it'll come now. What do you mean, if? It's a mishnah on Pirkei Avos. The Moshe not know Pirkei Avos? It's a mishnah on Pirkei Avos. 10 things were created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmashos. One of them was the Piaretz, the pet of the land. So what, did he not know that? How did he not know that? That's number two. Number three is, why do we have a suffix about Bein HaShmashos? Such a Reb Wolfson question. Why do you have a suffix about Bein HaShmashos? If the mishnah says 10 things were created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmashos, and we know that God didn't create anything on Shabbos, right? So it must be that Bein HaShmashos is day, not night. So why is Bein HaShmashos a suffix if it's day or night? One opinion says it's a suffix between the two. One opinion says it's entirely day. One opinion says it's entirely night. Why is there a suffix? If he created things on Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmashos, it must be it's day. Where did that suffix come from? Such, I'm telling you, without being in this space manager, I don't feel zocha to be able to say over such a Reb Wolfson. It's a crazy question. Like, well, why in the world, why is there a suffix? That's a great question. Where did the suffix come from? Why do we have this suffix? So here we go. Here we go. A little bit of akdama. Learning something and giving a psak on something can change the mitzias of the world. For example, we know that a kli shlishi can, in theory, cook. If you pour boiling hot water, 200 degree water, inside a second kli, and you take that second kli, put it inside a third kli, it's 180 degrees in that third kli. You're trying to tell me if you put meat inside there, it's not going to cook? You don't think it's going to cook inside that kli shlishi? Don't lie to me. Of course it's going to be able to cook. But Moshe Feinstein says that a kli shlishi can't cook. So when you paskin that way and you say a kli shlishi can't cook, and I mean, it's not really Ramosha, it's based on the Gemara. When the Gemara paskins that way, that means it doesn't cook. Regardless of what you see, regardless of what you find, in the levels of cooking, it's not considered cooking. So even though I see it this way, and the same way with like killing a gnat on Shabbos. Why? So Chazal say because they're born from sweat. No matter what you find later on, even if you would somehow find that sweat does not cause lice to form, you can still kill lice on Shabbos, because the halacha, the psak din that the Rabbanim made, does not change the mitzvah, or it changes the mitzvahs to that psak. So that even though the reasoning might be gone, but the psak remains, and their halacha remains, and it changes the mitzvahs to be exactly what they said, that these things can be killed, and it's not an issur of shechita whatsoever. That's the idea behind learning, and how powerful learning is, that it can change the whole world. So here we go. Hashem created those things in Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShmashos, b'safek. He said, if they need to be in the world, then they'll be there. But if they don't need to be in the world, then they won't be there. These things are created al tanai, on condition that Bein HaShmashos is day. But if Bein HaShmashos is night, then I never created them. I never created them. How did he do such a thing? He's God. He's good. He can do whatever he wants. He can make something in that way where he could say, I created it if it's day. But if it's not day, then it's nothing. Then it's nothing. So it says, if, we don't know if it was created or not, it depends on the psak. What is the halacha regarding Bein HaShmashos? So here we go. What Moshe Rabbeinu did when he sat there is he was misupik. He said, Imbriya Yivra Hashem. Will Hashem create something? Meaning, what is Bein HaShmashos? Is Bein HaShmashos day? Is it night? Or is it a suffix? What is it? And he sat there and he was mavarah the halacha. He clarified the halacha in his head. And he went through and he ended up paskening from all the rayas and this and that. And he went through and he said, Bein HaShmashos is day. And he paskened right then and there, Bein HaShmashos is day. Once he paskened that, that means that what was created in Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmashos? The Piaretz. That means right there in the earth, the Piaretz formed. Right there, because of that halacha that he paskened, the Piaretz formed inside the ground, and immediately Korach and Dasan and Aviram and all their families were swallowed up in the ground, because Moshe Rabbeinu paskened right then that that's considered day. But Moshe Rabbeinu is on a very, very high level. We never understood his proofs. Just like we said last week, we don't paskin like Remeir. We never paskin like Rishim Bar Yochai. We don't paskin like Beis Shammai, because they're on a level too high for us. We don't understand them. And when you can't understand something, when you can't understand a halacha that they say, we can't paskin that way. For Moshe, it was a halacha. For us, it's still a suffix. Moshe could have tried to explain it to us, and we're like, I don't get it. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Bein HaShmashos is still a suffix. So for us, it was a suffix. So what happened right after they were swallowed up by the ground? It closed up on top of them all over again. For Moshe, he paskined it, but he paskined it for right then. And as soon as he paskined it, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, but for everybody else, it's a suffix. And he covered up the ground as if it was never there in the first place.
Some of the other stuff from the Mishnah came into existence.
Hold on. Korach, therefore, was besuffic swallowed. That's the machlokas as to whether Korach has something lost at level. In the future, lost at level, when Mashiach comes, what will be with Korach? Korach? Is Machlokes? Is he going to get Olamaba or is he not going to get Olamaba? It depends. If it's night, then he's going to get Olamaba. If it's daytime and Moshe Rabbeinu was right, he was right at that time, but if Moshe Rabbeinu was right, even lost at Lavo, then he's going to end up going. He's going to get his Gehenna. He's going to go straight to Gehenna. You know, don't pass go, don't collect the $200, go straight down to Gehenna. That's the idea behind that. That's number one. Now, the exact same thing happened for Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And by the way, that's why Korach didn't realize what was happening to him, but he saw with his kids. Korach was not on the level to be able to understand the fact that somebody could just create something anew. Somebody could just create something all of a sudden and make it just happen in the middle of nowhere. He was on the level of, according to Rav Wolfson, on the level of Yetzirah. He's quoting Chassam Sofer, the level of Yetzirah, of I can see what forms inside this world. I can see my kids. I can see through Ruach HaKodesh what's going to happen. But he wasn't on the level of Bria, which is what Moshe Rabbeinu was on, where he could create things on his own. He wasn't on that level where he could mamish create things and make things happen, make a whole hole in the ground and then cover it up afterward by being Mavara Suffolk right there on the spot. Therefore, he saw what was going to be with his kids, that his kids were going to be okay, but for himself, he wasn't able to see such a crazy thing happen, that he couldn't even fathom. He couldn't see that happening. And the exact same thing happened with another thing of one of those 10 things. One of the 10 things that were created in Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos was, classic, the Kavura of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Kavura of Moshe Rabbeinu. The death place, the burial place of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was Besuffik. If it's during the day, then there is such a Kavura. If it's at night, then there was no such Kavura. Moshe Rabbeinu is never going to die. It depends on how you paskin regarding Bein HaShemashos. When Moshe Rabbeinu paskin the Bein HaShemashos during the day, not only did he paskin for Korach that the ground opens up, he also paskin for himself that he's going to have to die. That there is going to be a Kavura of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that Kavura of Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be outside of Eretz Yisrael. So he paskin for himself that he must die outside of Eretz Yisrael. And that's all Pshat behind Rav Lacham Bnei Levi. Because he said Rav Lacham Bnei Levi to Korach and killed Korach, therefore Rav Lach, it's too much for you. That Rav Lach goes right back to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. You paskin, it was daytime. I created your Kavura Shel Moshe. I created that Kavura beforehand. Lishi Tafscha Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to have to go down as well. But now, it's a suffix. We saw that suffix. So just like the land covered up, Velo Yoda Ishes Kavura So. We have no idea where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. The same way we don't know what happened to Korach, the ground covered itself up right afterward. We have no idea where Moshe is buried. You try looking for Moshe Rabbeinu's grave. The Gemara in Sotah, Daf Yud Gimel and Aleph, says that they started looking for him. They went up, it was down there. They went down, it was up there. They tried, look, they couldn't get it. It's a suffix for us. We can't find such a grave because for us, it doesn't exist. And that's the whole thing that Moshe is Omid Meshamish B'Marom. Moshe is up there standing in the Marom. He's besuffik. He's waiting. He has no idea. If there's such a thing at Bein HaShemashos' day, then he's buried and he's going to have Tchiyas HaMeisim. If Bein HaShemashos' night, he's still alive. And he's alive even now. And that's all Pshat David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. The Melech refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Rabbeinu is Chai V'Kayim even now. It's besuffik. We have no idea whether he's alive or whether he's dead. We have no clue. It's all besuffik to us and it depends on how we paskin Bein HaShemashos, and we still have that suffik. We paskin that Bein HaShemashos is a suffik even nowadays. So we have no idea what it is until the times of Mashiach, then we'll understand it. But because he made such a chiddush, because he paskin that way about Bein HaShemashos, that chiddush made him die. He died during Bein HaShemashos of Shabbos. That's why we say Tzikascha Tzedek Olam on Mincha of Shabbos. Because he died Bein HaShemashos of Shabbos. So you think to yourself, well wait, maybe that's Sunday. And that's part of a machlokis when Moshe Rabbeinu died altogether. But he died. Oh, maybe it's Sunday. Maybe it's the night of the next night. No! Moshe Rabbeinu Lishitaso, according to himself, he died on Shabbos. And that's why we say Tzikascha on Shabbos, because of Moshe Rabbeinu himself that died exactly at that time. What about the other eight? The other eight things that were there? So Rav Wolfson talks about them inside. I don't think we should go inside every single one of them. But he talks about how those are like an olas tamid, how those were like korbanos. They were needed by Bnei Yisrael, every single one of them. For example, the keshes is needed to keep the world around. The ksav of the luchos, the mechtav of the luchos themselves, the mun, the be'er, all those things were all needed by Bnei Yisrael, and they were needed so badly that those things were created even on Shabbos, because we know that a korban can be brought even on Shabbos. And if they're needed by Bnei Yisrael so badly for them to be able to live, they could be created even on Shabbos. So even if you say that Bnei Yisrael is night, those things could still be created. So no matter what they were created, whether it was day or night or even a suffix, those things could be created. But that's not for us. Forget about those other eight. The Iker board is that Rav Lachem and Rav Lach. That's an unbelievable word from Rav Wolfson. How do we understand Isurim Midrabon? That the Pasuk says in Parak Dalet, Pasuk Beis, Pasuk says, Losuf Sifal Adavar Shanochem Mitzav Ascham Lo Sigum Menu, don't add on to anything that I command you and don't go less than it. Lishmar's Mitzvah Hashem Lokechem Ashanochem Mitzav Ascham, to keep the Mitzvah Hashem, your God, that I command you to do. So the question is, how could the Rabbanan add on any? How could the Rabbanan add on any mitzvahs? We have mitzvahs Midrabonin. How could that be done? It's awesome. We can't do such a thing. So the Minchas Yudah, Rabbi Yudah Pataya, the Talmud of the Ben Ishchai, says an unbelievable answer, and he gives like a great example. He says, it's like a doctor goes up to you and says, let's just say Reuven. Reuven comes to him, and he says to Reuven, listen, Reuven, you're very sick. You got to take these pills. Now listen to exactly what I say. You must take them every day at 6 in the morning and 6 in the evening. Don't do it at any other time. Don't mess up anything I say. Do exactly what I say. Nothing more, nothing less. And he gives him the pills. Reuven goes ahead, goes home, and he puts them all in a big bottle, and then he covers up the bottle. So his friend, who was with him the whole time, looks at him and says, Reuven, you idiot, what's wrong with you? You weren't supposed to do anything extra. The doctor told you just take the pills, one at 6 in the morning, one at 6 in the evening. He didn't tell you to put them in a bottle? What's wrong with you? So Reuven looks at him and says, you fool. What do you mean I can't put them in a bottle? He was just talking about the numbers. He was talking about when I take them, about the pills themselves. The bottle is only going to protect them. It's only a protection. It's nothing more than that. It's not going to affect the actual pills themselves. That's the idea behind the Yisuri Durabon. The Yisuri Durabon are like a gedder, a siyug, a fence to keep us in and to make sure we don't mess up. The mitzvahs are all the pills on the inside. The bottle are the gezeros midurabonin. And if you break that bottle, just one little hole inside that bottle, what happens to all the pills inside? They start falling out one by one. If you break the bottle and you start breaking one durabonin, just one, all of a sudden the pills can start falling out. Some of them are big, some of them are small, so whatever they are, but they're going to start falling out. Maybe you won't lose the big mitzvahs, but you'll lose the small ones. You'll lose a little bit of something. There's something there that you're losing out on. That's the idea behind it. That's the siyog and the gather. The Chizkuni says another type of an answer, that he says it only applies, the only two times that this type of concept is mentioned, where you don't add on, you don't lessen, or whatever it is, it's mentioned here by Baal Peor, and again by Molech. It's only mentioned by Avodah Zarah. He says it only applies to Avodah Zarah. Don't add on anything. Don't think to yourself, I can not only worship God, I can also worship Avodah Zarah. I can do both of them together. Don't think that way, or don't say that I can take away from God in order to give to Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Shalom. Can ever do such a thing? The no Sosifo and no Sosifo only applies to that. That's the easy way of getting at it. Next Pasuk, Pasuk He, says, Re'ei limadati eschem chukim v'mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem l'koi b'si. I have taught you all the chukim v'mishpatim that Hashem is commanding me to do. It's the question that's asked over here is an unbelievable one, or the statement that they make. If a Rav is asked by his Talmud in his lifetime to explain a certain concept to him or explain a certain halacha to him, the Rebbe, if the Talmud is on the level, has a chiyuv to tell that Talmud. And if he doesn't tell that Talmud that, if he doesn't go up to a student and he doesn't say anything, then after the Rebbe dies, he'll have to come back into this life to be able to tell the Talmud exactly what it was. However, through a Gilgul, through somehow, in a dream, he somehow has to come back in order to tell that Talmud everything. The Arizal used to tell Reb Chaim Vital, he's from the Ben Ishchai, the Arizal used to tell the Reb Chaim Vital, you can ask me anything you want. Ask me anything you want in the world, but make sure no one else is there. Because if anyone else is there, I'm going to have to answer you, but I have to do it in front of them, and I don't want them to hear the secrets that you're going to hear from me. So I want you to ask me everything, and I will answer you everything that I think you're roy for, but you have to do everything that I say. So make sure that it happens at different times. That's the pshat why Moshe Rabbeinu told Yoshua. Moshe went up to Yoshua, and it comes from this pasuk. Moshe goes up to Yoshua and says, anything you need to ask about, come up to me and ask me. Ask me right now. Ask me anything there is in the world. The Gemara in Erchin says, and Tamura says, and Daf Tes Zion, in Tumu Tes Zion says that Yeshua went up to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, what do you mean? The Pasuk says about me, Lo Yamish Mitoch Ohel. I never moved from the Ohel of Moshe Rabbeinu. What could I have not known? What part of Torah do I not know? I know everything. I got it from you already. Moshe Rabbeinu had Chalishas Adasi, felt upset that you could have such a Yeshua, how could you not ask me? Because that 3,000 halachos were lost. Aside from the 1,775 Kal V'Chomers, 1,700 it says in the Gemara, but it's really 1,775 Kal V'Chomers, Gzeras Shavas, no tricones, and everything that was lost with it. They lost 4,700 things all together because of Yeshua's, call it Gaiva, but again it's Yeshua. Call it the Gaiva of Yeshua, whatever it was, that caused Yeshua not to ask him any questions. Because if you do ask the questions, Moshe Rabbeinu will tell you everything. So ask everything you can. Rashi and the Rashbam, I'm sorry?
Asniel brought that back?
Asniel is one who brought, no, not those, he brought back the 300 that were lost later on. The 300 halachas and the 700 spekos. But he wasn't able to bring back the 3,000 in 1775. Those were lost too early. There's another, the Chida brings down a Maisa with Rashi and the Rashbam. We know that the Rashbam was one of the greatest Talmidim of Rashi. He was his grandson, when his daughter's son. And the Rashbam used to learn by Rashi all the time. So Rashi, one time the Rashbam had asked him, can I learn the 72-letter name of God? Can I learn the Shem Ayin Beis from you? And Rashi held that the Rashbam wasn't ready for it. Whatever that means, but the Rashbam wasn't ready for the Shem Ayin Beis. You can't learn that Shem Ayin Beis from me. So obviously the Rashbam was upset. One night after Rashi had passed away, the Rashbam woke up to Rashi saying to him, get up, wash in the Tehillas Yadayim, say Birchas HaTorah, and get in the kitchen. Rashbam said, what's going on? He said, now. So he got up, he washed Negelwasser, said Birchas HaTorah, Amas Yisraim, etc. Said Negelwasser, said Birchas HaTorah, walked to the kitchen. Rashi and the Rashbam, Rashi was sitting there in a chair, seemingly extreme hole and everything. The Rashbam said, Rebbe, what's going on? He said, they told me in Shemayim that you're ready to hear the Shemayim Beis. So they told me I can't go into Gan Eden until I tell you the Shemayim Beis. So he sat down at the table and he taught him everything he needed to know until morning. As soon as he said, do you have it? The Rashbam said, 100%. Rashi disappeared and went up to obviously his place. The Chidah brings that down and he says, the Pshat is exactly what we're saying right now. That you have to tell, your Rebbe has to tell the Talmud everything. And the Arizal supposedly was supposed to have said to his Talmidim, if you don't get something or if you need something from me and you're ready for it, I'll come back to you in a dream. And I'll tell it to you in a dream. Be sure to be ready for it and make yourselves Tahor every single night you have a question. Make sure you're Tahor every single night so that I can come to you in the dream and teach you all the Torah that you need to know. Absolutely unbelievable stuff, but that's the idea behind that. My last thing. Oh, I love this verse. Moshe wanted to fully use the shame. Let's go back to that Rebbe Akiva thing before. What else did Moshe Rabbeinu want to do with Vos Chanan? Okay, we mentioned two pshatim. There are another 513 that we're missing. So what are the other 513? I can't tell you, but I got one. This one is also good. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to use the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was used to destroy enemies. He wanted to destroy every single one of the nations in Canaan by using a name of God. That name is Chaf Hei Tov. Chaf Hei Tov. Known as Take, whatever you want to call it, but it was a certain name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in which you use it in a certain way, you're able to kill all your enemies. You can destroy every single one of your enemies. Now, we've seen it before. Yael Gruvani says the eighth shame of the shamos of the Ayin Beis, so it's the eighth shame thereof. However, Moshe's connection is a big connection. Moshe is the same gematria as Kel Shakai. Aleph Lamed Shin Dalid Yud is gematria 345, which is the same gematria as Moshe himself. The Kel Shakai, Vav Aleph Lamed Shin Dalid Yud, which is mentioned in reference to Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu says Vekel Shakai Yitain Lecha, etc. That Vav Aleph Lamed Shin Dalid Yud, take those letters and you can come out with, do we have, thank you, it's Vav Aleph Lamed, then you take a Dalid Shin and a Yud and you put it like this. What's the letter in between a Vav and a Dalid? Dalid and a Hey. Vav is a Hey. What's the letter between a Shin and an Aleph? A Tav. And the last letter between a Lamed and a Yud is a Chaf. That's the shame. Between the Kel Shakai, which is the Gematria Moshe Rabbeinu, is that name of Take. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is the first person that we know of that was able to do such a thing. He used the shame Take to kill the Ish Mitzri. When he saw the Ish Mitzri that was beating up Dasan, he yelled out a shame of Hashem, according to Rashi. That shame of Hashem was Take. The next day, Dasan, who had heard that shame, was trying to use it against Aviram. And they were trying to use it against one another to curse each other and to knock them down into the ground. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Rasha, lama Take Reyecha? Why are you using the shame of Tav Chaf Hei against your friend? Take only works against your enemies. It doesn't work against your friend. You're not allowed to do that against your friend. That's what the Netzitzit Shimshon says, what was going on over there. The Arizal says that if you have Kavana, while you're saying Lo Azavta Dorshecha Hashem, Azavta Dorshecha Hashem is the Sofetevas of Tav Chaf Al Hei. Tav Chaf Hei, which is the shame of Take. If you have in mind when you say that, if you concentrate during those letters, you will not be bothered by anybody that you don't like during that day. Anybody you don't like during that day will never be able to come up anywhere near you. Your enemies will not have any effect on you whatsoever. That's what he says. That's the reason why Take is the Gematria of 425, is the Gematria of Hanukkah, which is the Gematria of 89, and Purim, which is 326 and 336 altogether. 336 plus 89 is 425. Because Because on Hanukkah, how do you think the Greeks were able to be killed by so little Chashmonaim? They used the shame of Taka. What do you think was being sent by Esther to Mordechai when Esther said, don't worry, we'll be fine. If Haman and the Amalekim try to kill us, we'll be fine. Why? Because we'll be able to use the shame of Taka. We'll use that shame of Taka to destroy all of them. That's why she sent, what was the name of the messenger that she sent between Esther and Mordechai? His name was Hasach, Hey Tuf Chaf. He brought out that name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, we can use that name. Don't worry about it, Mordechai. Everything's going to be okay because we have that name where we're going to be able to use it. Now, it's all over the place over here. Ebra is Ish Esav Belial Rushahu. That's what the letters stand for. Ish Esav Belial Rushahu. Ato Achilos says, you already started showing it to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You gave it to me before by the Ish Mitzri, and you also told it to me by Zelecha Ha'os. At the Sneh, you started to tell me the sod behind Taka. Zelecha Ha'os is also the last letters are. Hey, Chav, Tuf. You told me that this is the os for me to be able to use this shame against the Mitzriim, and now do it again, and that's why I said there's Yodcha Ha'chazaka. The S, Yodcha Ha'chazaka, is Tuf, Chav, Hey. Let me use this shame, bring everyone into Eretz Yisrael without having there be any war whatsoever. I'll destroy every single last goy all throughout there, and everything will be taken care of. That koach did go on to Yoshua. That's how Yoshua was able to destroy Yericho. He was able to destroy Yericho, and that's the pshat. Yoshua wrote what? Anybody know what Yoshua wrote? He wrote Aleinu L'Shabeach. Inside Aleinu is Liros Mehera B'Siferes Uzecha. Mehera B'Siferes Uzecha is Hey Tuf Chaf. All together. It's Liros Mehera B'Siferes Uzecha La'aver Geluli Min Arts. Take away all the goyim from the land. L'Sakein Olam B'Malchus Shakai. Shindalid Yud. To bring about the Malchus of Shakai, to bring Moshe Rabbeinu back and to bring everyone back, Yoshua was able to use that to start destroying Yericho and to start destroying all the nations. However, Bnei Yisrael sinned. Achan had done something wrong, and thus they weren't allowed to use Taka for the rest of the time. In Yericho, nobody died. When they got to the next, the Ai, then already somebody died. Yair B'Menashe was able to die. And then afterward, it'd have to be a natural war. But they would have had Liros Mehera B'Siferes Uzecha L'Sakein Olam B'Malchus Shakai to bring about Shakai, to bring about this whole thing of Taka. It was also brought down by the Nachash, the Eva Ashis Beincha Ubeina Isha. The Eva Ashis Beincha is again Hey Chaf Tuf. Hey Chaf Tuf. Also by the Teva, when Noach was on the Teva to destroy all the Mazikin on the Teva, he was told Asei Lecha Tevas Atzei Gopher. That's Hey Chaf Tuf again. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them Rav Lach, Rav Lach. You have a Rebbe. Remember the Rebbe that you had before, Rebbe Akiva? He comes back, buddy, because Rebbe Akiva said you shouldn't use such a shame to get out of anything. Where do we see that from? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We know from the Gemara and Brachos and Daf Samach Dalid, Rabbi Kiva's last line was Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. By far the most unbelievable word. Says in Nitzutz Shemshon, the Gemara says, the Talmidim went up to him and said, Rebbe, Ad Kan, Rebbe, even now you're going to say Shema Yisrael. Even now you're going to do that loosely translated. Even now you're going to do it. Said Rabbi Kiva, all my life I've wanted to be Mekayim. But I've been Mekayim. B'chol Levavcho, B'chol Me'odecha. I gave my heart to God. I give my money to God. Now I can finally be Mekayim. B'chol Nafshecha. I can give my soul to God. And you want me to not do it? Of course I'm going to say Shema. Listen to the pshat. It says in Nitzutz Shemshon, Ad Kan does not mean even now. Ad Kan means until here. Rebbe, you're going to stop at Echad? Keep going. V'ahavta Eis Hashem Elokecha. Eis Yud Kei Vav Kei Elokecha is the last letters Tuf Hei Chav. And by the way, has anybody else noticed? I've used the last letters of every single one of these words. There's a reason why, and the reason why it's Taket Tuf Chav Hei specifically, because it's Midas Adin, and it's always at the end. It causes the death of people. It's at the end. It's always at the end of words. The beginning of words is not as holy. At the end of words is where it comes in. But either way, he said, Rebbe Ad Kan, keep going, keep walk, keep talking, keep going. Say those words of Ace Hashem.